Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
It's very easy to get kind of carried away arguing about politics or current events or things that are wrong, but ultimately the only thing that's going to improve anything is code that people can use that solves the problem, right? So that's the point. If you actually want to do something, it's better use of time to, you know, write some code rather than arguing about things.
Let it run and that's it.
Well, Bitcoin is like, kind of like that, right? Because it's sort of opt-out technology. So you don't have to persuade people. You can just, you know, unilaterally use better money, hard money. And, you know, of course, we all believe we're right. And if we are, that will change things slowly because having hard money is a strong tactical advantage, right?
Boom. Opt-out money. Clip from My Trust in You is Broken, the documentary from the BTC Pay Server team.
Yeah, went huge live shout yesterday. Huge shout out to all the contributors of BTC Pay Server. One of the most important projects in the space. Proud supporter for many years myself. And the documentary was straight fire. Really cool to see.
Really was. I mean, especially if you're newer to Bitcoin and you want to get some historical context around the fork wars and what was happening around then, particularly with BitPay and some of the companies that were trying to wall garden off access to Bitcoin, and Nicholas Story's reaction to that. I think it's really important historical context for all of you to get exposure to.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a history lesson there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that part. I mean, it was like a little bit nostalgic.
I forgot Garzik worked for
for BitPay. He's the off by one.
I thought
he's the one who fucked up the fork.
I thought he had his own company, Block. I thought Block Inc. BLOQ. Yep.
He also had a different fork that was like you had a KYC to get your Bitcoin, so like it automatically took out Satoshi's coins.
Yeah. That's a great history lesson. Shout out to BTC Pay Server team. And the team that put that together, that documentary. Great documentary. Go watch it. We're going to link to it in the show notes. Bitcoin is opt-out money. You can build it. BTC Pay Server is an incredible example of the power of open source, giving people the ability to receive Bitcoin payments. And don't sleep on their point-of-sale system.
It's also... Well, I mean, what's cool about the point of sale system is like it's essentially like a browser and an Android tablet.
Yeah.
Like at the park, we just, you know, have a tablet with the browser open. Boom, done. Obviously, they have that hardware that they buy that's already like pre-made that also has like NFC and stuff and the receipt printer and the camera on it for scanning things, which makes it very helpful for people that use it in like handheld environments.
Yeah.
I think it's also like it's a perfect example. I feel like people really underestimate how much change like a few individuals can have on the world. Like you can have real substantive change if you tune out the noise and focus on what you can control and building for that future.
Yeah, I mean, BTC Pay Servers started as a tweet and turned into this whole movement. My trust in you is broken. I'm going to go build it myself. And Nicholas did. Shout out to Nicholas. Kooks, Pavel Nix, Rockstar, Patricia, everybody's been working, and many others who have been working on BTC Pay Server over the years.
Marty always does this. He starts listing people's names. He's like, fuck, now if I leave someone out, what am I doing?
That's on me. So we did a cold open. I left a lot of people out. I'm sorry. Let's dive right into the dashboard. We got a lot to talk about this week. According to Clark's dashboard,
I have one of the things I like to take myself, I like to hold myself to a higher standard, and it's important for me to admit when I was wrong. I had a ride or die freak, and prolific Bitcoin developer reach out to me over the week, listens to every Rabbit Hole recap. Increasing your mempool size, while you might be able to have a better view on what transactions are there, actually could be worse for the network. The pressure that we put on Clark to increase his mempool size actually could have a negative effect long-term on the network because you don't rebroadcast transactions that you have in your mempool. So like I always operated under this assumption that, you know, oh, I'm storing extra copies of the transactions other people are dropping. And then if mempools decrease in size, then nodes can retrieve those transactions from me. Like I'm doing a service. You're actually doing the opposite because even if someone then rebroadcasts their transaction, because it's in your mempool, you don't broadcast it out again. Everyone shouldn't like rush to increase their mempool size.
Wait, so bullying does not work?
No, bullying worked in this case. It just might have been a false goal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Clark, I'm hope you're proud of your big mempool now. It's disrupting the network.
You need a tiny mempool. I don't know why you did it.
Yeah, it's... What the fuck, Clark?
jokes aside, in Clark's situation, it's actually probably helpful for him to still have a bigger mempool because he is a data site, right? Just like mempool.space. Like, you want to have a better view for your users on what the actual kind of network activity is. But for most of us, it's better if we don't increase our mempool size.
Yes. It's be aware, freaks. Clark, your mempool's too big now. You got to figure out how to get it smaller. You're disrupting the network. I kid. Going to Clark's dashboard, the current price of Bitcoin is $67,070. We're dumping. Not technically a dump yet, but we're down.
It has to be 20% for it to be a dump, according to money. Yeah.
We were at 70,000 earlier this week. I think we touched 71. Currently, it's 67,070 bucks. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,491 sats. We are currently sitting at a $1.32 trillion market cap. We're at block height 844,775, which means we had a difficulty adjustment earlier today. That was a positive difficulty adjustment of 1.5%. That was difficulty epoch 420. Interesting. We are currently 1,945 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which is estimated to be on June 5th. But as we all know, having listened to the show for many years, since we are very close to the last difficulty adjustment, this data is not as reliable as it will be in a week or two. But with that said, blocks been coming in at 10 minutes and 11 seconds on average. And as of right now, the next adjustment is looking like a negative 0.8% adjustment. Going over to Clark's well-endowed mempool, we see 159,292 transactions. Mempool.space is showing 190,234 transactions. Still bigger than Clark's. Clark, it's the wizard, not the wand. We all know that. That is the state of the network. That is where we are today. A lot going on in the space. Regulatory front. ETF front, Bitcoin Pizza Day was yesterday. A lot of interesting things there. Coinbase is in the news. Two headlines. The former President Trump running again. Is accepting crypto as payment. Not Bitcoin, though. Use Coinbase Commerce, and you cannot send Bitcoin unless you have a Coinbase wallet to his
company. Pretty fucking sad.
Considering all the hype that went into it, and like, yeah, we're going to be able to donate Bitcoin, And then it happened. It's like, actually, no, you can't unless you have a Coinbase account.
Or wrapped Bitcoin on Ethereum.
Yeah.
They're like, we do support Bitcoin.
And then Coinbase again, set up in Washington Square Park in New York City for Bitcoin Pizza Day, and they only allowed people to pay in USDC, and we're KYCing people at the cart to give them free USDC to then buy pizza. Cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I mean, just the USDC element is probably the worst part of the whole thing.
Well, the explanation for it too, I think, I don't know if it was somebody from Coinbase or somebody else, but their explanation for this was
they didn't know how to accept Bitcoin. They probably were using Coinbase wallet.
Well, they completely misunderstand Bitcoin. So Jacqueline Melanick, some people complained about Coinbase selling pizza with USDC instead of Bitcoin on Bitcoin Pizza Day. I get the principle. There's a bigger message here. Buying pizza with USDC makes transaction costs for businesses a few cents versus the usual 3% card fee. That saves a lot of dollars, and it provides a clear value prop that newbies slash businesses get onboarded to crypto can wrap their minds around. That's what matters, making crypto easier to use, cheaper, user-friendly, and understandable. This isn't about transaction fees at the end of the day. It's about separating money and state. And not having to trust third parties.
I mean, also, they could have accepted Lightning. Coinbase has an ownership interest in USDC, and they make bank off of that. I mean, this is like the equivalent of just accepting Visa cards. Like, that would be even easier. Why don't they accept Apple Pay?
Well, it comes with a 3% fee. You need to use USDC to avoid the fee.
Anyway.
You're paying for the fee somewhere else.
Yeah.
Shout out. I mean, they also came into like PubKey's territory. They're right down the street from PubKey. Shout out to PubKey for holding down the fort and making sure the cultural appropriation didn't go without some pushback.
All of that was just, I mean, I love the PubKey guys, but who the fuck gives a shit?
Now, like I told you before,
before
we went live, it was just like the videos that were coming out from the crypto bros in New York. It reminded me of just how infested New York City is with crypto bros.
I mean, I think people should be focused on like building actionable solutions.
Yes. Like our friend Adam Back described.
It was like, it felt like, you know, like when the local news covers like bears in a swimming pool or some shit. Doesn't fucking matter.
It's fun. I did not eat pizza yesterday. I did not. Matt, you'll be happy to know we have one lone soldier in the YouTube live chat.
It's amazing if you just denigrate a certain segment of the audience. They just they stop showing up.
I don't even know what this guy wants us to talk about. I hope they discuss tweets they've previously made.
I don't even have a Twitter anymore.
Shout out to everybody who's joined us in the Zap.stream live chat. I can't pop out the chat in Zap.stream.
It's because he updated it. Kieran, if you're listening, you missed the pop out chat button in the UX update.
Very crucial. If you're
in the beginning during the cold open, I did inspect element. I deleted the video, so I just have the chat.
Oh, smart. That's smart. Shout out to everybody in the Zap.stream live chat. Live chat. I hope we're not live chatting over there. Live chatting.
If you're in the YouTube chat and you want to join us in the Nostr live chat, it's rhr.tv/stream.
Yes. Join us. There are dozens. There are dozens. All right, to the list. Talk about BTC Pay Server. Go watch the full doc. It's on YouTube. Free to access. Julian Assange has been given the right to appeal his extradition to the U.S. By the U.K. High Court, which is a welcomed development in this case that seems to never be ending.
Yeah, I mean, it seems positive. I'm a little bit I'm cautiously optimistic. But yeah. This case has just been, you know, anyone who has paid attention and cared has just been like trodden all over. And I do think it's an interesting time to remind people that when all of this first started, there were accusations and allegations of rape charges on Assange so that people would stop supporting him. And those just got dropped, you know, as soon as they got him in custody, which is a very common tactic that we see used.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that the UK, this is the UK, which has been instituting speech laws, particularly hate speech laws, seems to be infringing on the rights of individual citizens of the United Kingdom to actually speak. It is funny that they are standing up. It's not funny, but it's ironic that they're standing up for free speech. As it pertains to Julian Assange in this case, I'm very happy to see it, but it's not a good look for the U.S. when U.K. High Court's like, this is taking it a bit far. We're going to let him appeal this extradition. Stella Assange, Julian's wife, said, "We spent a long time here in the United States putting lipstick on a pig, but the judges did not buy it." The director of campaigns for Reporters Without Borders, Rebecca Vincent, said, "This is a victory. This means that the issues at the very heart of this case, freedom of expression, press freedom, will get consideration by the courts." So it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, for more context here, if I recall correctly, He was in Sweden. Assange, first of all, should be free. It was, it's, you know, he's a journalist. He published information about war crimes. It was for the good of the world that he did that. And he should be released immediately without question, period. But if I recall correctly, so he was in Sweden. There was like rape charges. The UK wanted to extradite him over that. Everyone was like, the rape charges aren't real. As soon as the UK extradites him, the US is going to extradite him. And then he's going to go to the US because the US is the ones who are actually going after him. They're like, no, 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 that's never going to happen. The UK gets him. And then I guess at some point he was in that Ecuadorian embassy. Then as soon as the UK gets him, like extradition proceedings start in for the United States. It's just like bullshit all the way down.
Yeah.
And I definitely messed up some of that, but that's more or less the context. Yeah.
Well, good to see, as we have been doing for years now. I think since this podcast started, we will continue to follow the Julian Assange case and keep you freaks abreast as it develops. On the same tip, the Peer-to-Peer Rights Fund launched to protect open source devs, starting with the Samurai case. This was beautiful to see. Our friends at the BTC Policy Institute sprung into action over the last few weeks and finally launched, not finally, but launched this Peer-to-Peer Rights Fund.
It was pretty quick, all things considered.
Yeah. And so Samurai is one of the cases they're focused on, but more broadly, they're focused on the right of individuals to transact in a peer-to-peer fashion in self-custody of their own Bitcoin.
And specifically the devs who write that code, code is speech. Yes. So they're trying to build up a war chest for this case and future cases. It is tax deductible. You can donate dollars. You can donate Bitcoin. And you can donate a non if you donate Bitcoin. So you don't have to provide any personal information unless you want that tax receipt, if you want that tax deduction. People, you know, everyone should consider donating. I think there is a real chilling effect among developers in the ecosystem. And we rely on these open source contributors more so than ever. And code is speech, and it should be protected, particularly in America, for sure. P2PRights.org.
P2PRights.org. And to add context to this, users, not developers, engage in financial activities. The broad interpretation of the Bank Secrecy Act could extend to hardware wallet developers, transaction node miners, and more if courts set unfavorable precedents. The implications are dire. So very important cases and precedents to be set in front of us. Staying on the case tip, staying in the legal realm of this world, Copa versus Craig Wright, written judgment published, and it is hilarious. Did you read any of it?
No, he's a fraud. I've known this since 2017.
Yeah, I think in the second paragraph of the judgment, it was just like, before you get it for any further into this, he's like guilty of all fraud. He perjured himself and forged evidence. This is one of the most egregious things I've ever seen in my life. And shout out to Peter Woola, who played a key role as a witness. And the judge said he turned out to be the most significant document, or to have provided the most significant document in this trial, used to devastating effect in cross-examination of Dr. Wright. So shout out to Peter Woola.
What was that document? Just like his questions that he answered or something? His testimony?
Yes. And I think it's providing proof of how this stuff actually works and how it looks like all this stuff was forged. Anything to add there? He was a fraud. I've been saying it for years.
Marty didn't see it because he's looking down. We're not lawyers. Thank you, Logan.
We're not lawyers. next up, Venezuela is cracking down on Bitcoin mining again. Venezuela has declared a ban on Bitcoin mining and pledged to disconnect all mining farms from the national power grid to alleviate pressure on the country's electricity supply. So this is yet another example of a government blaming Bitcoin for their power issues when Venezuela is a communist country that completely neglected their electrical infrastructure for well over a decade now. They have one of the most rich reserves of oil and gas in the world. And due to the fact that they're a socialist slash communist government, they're not actually able to properly maintain their energy infrastructure, particularly as it pertains to oil and gas, and shooting themselves in the foot.
But that's also just a bullshit reason for confiscating the miners. Like, they're confiscating the miners so that they can mine themselves.
Well, they've already done that before.
Yeah, and they're just continuing doing that. I mean, I think this is a good example of why it's important for work to continue on improving the ability for miners to mine in more private ways. Obviously, if you're one of the biggest issues is the power draw. So like if your power draw off a grid, like you're kind of just shit out of luck. But in terms of connecting to pools and how that works, improvements can still be made. And we, fortunately, one of the benefits is, you know, you don't have to have a high bandwidth connection in order to mine Bitcoin.
Yeah, hash shares that you send to the pool are kilobytes worth of data. You can send it over cellular data networks. Cellular data networks. As part of the crackdown, over 11,000 Bitcoin miners have been confiscated, which follows another anti-corruption initiative in the city of Marquay, where 2,000 miners were seized. So they've seized over 13,000 miners already, and should be expected from a dictatorial regime like they have in Venezuela.
Supposedly, like, a lot of times they'll seize your miners and then they'll, you know, then
ask
all
you
of
to
a sudden
maintain them.
Yeah, you have like no money, right? So then they're like, well, can we pay you pennies for you to actually run the things for us, because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, as is typical with despotic regimes. On to white pills. Spiral issued a grant for Sean Gilligan. It moves design grants to Bitcoin, the Bitcoin Design Foundation. So design, very important part of Bitcoin, making it accessible. And so Sean Gilligan is building on a version of the free and open source software validating Lightning Signer that runs in a secure enclave. Has nothing to do with design. This is a dual announcement. So Sean's going to be working on VLS, which, for those who may not remember, this is really cool because validating Lightning Signer, what it's attempting to do is separate the full node from the private key so you can run your node in the cloud and have your private key on a device that you actually control in your home or your business office, wherever you're controlling it. So you separate the node and the key, and since you have those separated, you have possession of the key and you can sign transactions communicating with the node. But if for some reason or another a cloud provider were to deem that they didn't want you running a Lightning node, you would have the fallback that you actually had the private key, so they wouldn't be able to take down your node and the private key in the cloud. You're able to separate those two. So this is a very important project, and so shout out to Spiral. And good luck to Sean Gilligan on building a free and open source version of VLS.
Yeah, so Citadel Dispatch 112. I had a whole conversation on VLS. It's a really cool concept.
Yeah. You think it's viable?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's low-hanging fruit, and it's a great idea. I also just had Bitcoin Design Foundation on CD132.
Yeah, that's the second part of this. So the foundation has received a large donation from Spiral. We'd like to express our deep gratitude for the continued support of the mission to support designers and builders who help push the user experience and adoption of Bitcoin and related technologies forward. The design community and foundation would not exist without them. So shout out to everybody focusing on UX around Bitcoin. As I've said before, It's a complete tabula rasa. If you're looking to make your mark in the design world, come to Bitcoin and create user experiences that can set the standard. You can make a reputation for yourself. You can't do that in like B2B SaaS.
Yeah, I mean, it's key to the whole, you know, adoption trend and progress, right? Like UX is a key aspect of making tools that are, you know, oftentimes we have great open source contributors, but then they build for engineers because they're engineers, so they think like engineers. But the ideal tools, if you want billions of people to use freedom money or other tangential freedom tools, is you want a UX that is so intuitive that they don't have to go and listen to a podcast, read a book, you know, watch a 3-hour YouTube video on how to use the thing. And design is key to that aspect. And I think particularly in the Bitcoin design niche, it's important that they're specialized because they need to be Bitcoiners and they need to understand how Bitcoin works in order to design effectively. Like you can't just be, you know, just a regular old designer and design effective UIs, in my opinion.
No, I mean, as it pertains to Bitcoin, there's so many experiences that need to be designed around address structure, coin control. Are you using a single sig, a multi-sig? Are you transacting over Lightning on-chain? Are you using a Fedi Mint, a Cashew Mint, and trying to consolidate and abstract that all away while ensuring that the user has as much control as possible is a Herculean task, and it's going to take time to develop those user experiences, but like I said, tabula rasa, big problems, should be fun to solve. So if you're looking to have fun and you're a designer, come to Bitcoin. And what is the bitcoindesign.guide? Is that the website?
Yes. No, that's their design guide, but yes.
Bitcoin.design, maybe. Yeah, it's bitcoin.design. They have a design guide.
Is the foundation link there too?
I don't think so. Let me find Bitcoin Design Foundation. That is bitcoindesignfoundation.org. If you want to go to that website.
Very straightforward URL.
Yes. .org. All right, shout out to Spiral. We're already at software updates. We'll go read the top four. Boost from Rabbit Hole Recap. 305, BitAx in the house. Had Scott from BitAx live in the Bitcoin Park studio last week. Great conversation. Here are the top four boosts from that episode. At Eric99, boosted 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Great advice.
Ape Mithrandir
chat right now too, which is he's also still in the house.
He's looking for design help, or he knows companies looking for design help. So hit up Scott. He's being facetious there. It's probably BitAx that needs design help. So
Scott, when the BitAx, when you lose Wi-Fi, I'm submitting an issue, audibly. When the Wi-Fi goes out. The BitAx spins up its fan to the super loud volume and then doesn't reconnect when Wi-Fi comes back on. It'd be nice if it didn't do that. Cause I turn my Wi-Fi off every night automatically.
Verbal PR.
But it's more of an issue because I didn't submit code with it, but yeah.
Yeah. At 8 Mithrandir. 7,777 sats. Solo mining is like doing a lotto every 10 minutes, but with better odds. It's true. It really is true. We went through the odds last week. Scott ran the numbers. Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad. At Blockchain Bug, 5,000 sats. BitAx for the win. At Vake, 3,000 sats. Stay humble. Just stay humble.
He doesn't want you to stack sats. Still good advice.
Still good advice. Vake doesn't want you to stack sats. He needs to stack more himself. So he's just going to tell you to stay humble. Let him stack sats. Shout out to you freaks for participating in the value for value model over podcasting 2.0. You can contribute to the show directly via podcasting 2.0, modern podcasting apps. I just read the boost from Fountain. You can use Breeze, Podverse, many others. Shout out to the Podfather, Adam Carey, and everybody working on podcasting 2.0, the open source movement for making this possible. It still blows my mind every week being able to read that and be like, oh, somebody sent us sats.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. And then shout out to everybody in Zap.stream right now boosting us, zapping us, excuse me. Get the nomenclature mixed up when you go from podcasting 2.0 to Noster. Boosting on podcasting 2.0, zapping on Noster.
Did you see the one person that commented was like, I still can't figure out how to zap. I just shat. And I assume he meant chat. Great. Noster's forever. No edit button.
Shout out to you guys. We got 22.1. 25, we got over 25,000 sats. Over 27,000 sats. Let's go.
Zap 10,000 sats and Gazoo zap 10,000 sats. Thank you, freaks.
Yeah. All right, back to the list. Software updates. Ronin Dojo version 2.1.4 has been released. Regroup, rebuild, return. For those who are unaware, Ronin Dojo is an open source project building tools on top of the Whirlpool stack. It's an installation assistant administration tool for Samurai Wallets, Dojo, Indexer, and related tools. Since April 24th, 2024, we've experienced significant changes and challenges from legal guidance to the forced repository move. We faced it all, but we are excited to announce that we are back in action. This was announced in the blog post. With everything back on track, we are refocusing on version 2.2.0, enhancing backup drive functionality to simplify upgrading to a 2 terabyte plus drive. I'm not going to read the whole blog post, but we're going to link to this No Bullshit Bitcoin, NoBSBitcoin.com summary in the show notes if you want to go read it.
Congratulations on zapping today, Marty. Logan just checked for us.
They were asking.
Yeah, everyone should go read that blog post. It's a fascinating blog post. And, I mean, one piece that I would highlight is they do discuss the chilling effect of the current regulatory environment and that some of their contributors are walking away from the project due to increased risk in their particular jurisdictions.
Chilling effect.
I think, what is the website? It's ronindojo.io.
It is ronindojo.io. Yes. Robosats. Nice.
Scott's in the live chat. He submitted my issue.
All right, good.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you.
Business on air. An RHR tradition like no other. Robosats version 0.6.2 alpha has been released with the regression fix. LMBits version 0.12.6 has been released with the user manager, Phoenix D wallet integration, Eclair bug fix.
Oh, I've been playing around with StartOS a lot lately, and it's pretty cool that you can self-host Robosats.
You've got a beefy setup too, don't you?
I do.
I like the beefy setups.
Complete overkill right now, but I like it that way.
Who knows? StartOS, it becomes a robust ecosystem of self-hosted apps in the future. You may need that beefy setup.
It's true.
If you want to do a lot, you don't need
it. If you listen to my recent conversation with Matt Hill, they're trying to make it very easy for people to upgrade their hardware. So you don't really need to, but I do think of it like an appliance. You know, like you don't want to update your fridge how often do you want to update your fridge? Like 10 years? 20 years. Buying a 20-year fridge nowadays, but ideally it would be a 20-year purchase, right?
Yeah.
So I think of it as like a home appliance is your self-hosted server, right?
yeah,
that runs a bunch of your cloud replacement things, not just Bitcoin stuff.
I think that's a good approach. And yeah, before we ripped ourselves off the gold standard, people have had fridges for 50 years.
Did you watch the Fallout documentary? Like, you could survive a nuke in a fridge.
What was the Fallout documentary?
It was Fallout, the movie, the series. It wasn't a documentary. Not based on truth.
Like, once per episode when they showed that kid walking out of the fridge.
Yeah, he survived. They don't make them like that nowadays. Try getting in an LG fridge. You're going to die.
The thing's going to melt, and you're going to be mummified in plastic. Not ideal. Push TX, privacy-focused Bitcoin transaction broadcaster. This is really cool to see. So this inserts transactions directly into the P2P network, correct?
Yes. It's a way for you to broadcast transactions in a much more private fashion. And it doesn't rely on any trusted party. And no external dependencies. It's like very lightweight and straightforward.
And I believe the name of the developer is escaping me. But I think he mentioned on Noster that if you just have the Tor browser open while you're using it too, it'll send it over Tor.
Yeah, it'll automatically use Tor. I have his name here. Pretty
Alfred.
Cool.
Alfred.
Yeah, this definitely his legal name. I see Carlos, Ride or Die Free Carlos, in the chat, which is amazing that he's here with us at such a late hour, considering he usually only enjoys morning rips. But he mentioned, Matt, I'm surprised you're not running Bitcoin stuff on separate hardware. I think that is usually best practice. People should consider that. It's nice to have that separation. But also, I think for the average person, it makes sense for them to start with a single box, and then they can always upgrade their stack in the future and separate out. And Carlos also mentioned that mempool.space has a transaction push feature, and mempool.space/transaction/push that obviously relies on mempool, their server. I believe blockstream.info has one too. This is intentionally doesn't rely on a centralized backend, very lightweight, can run it yourself.
Beware. I forgot to retweet the tweet, so I was just retweeting it. Phoenix D version 0.1.5 has been released. It's an official Docker file, authentication to webhook calls, and more. Go check that out. Mostro version 0.12.0 has been released. Orders with amounts by ranges. So Mostro is a Lightning Network peer-to-peer exchange platform on Noster. Cool to see. Coracle version 0.4.5 has been released with custom feed builder and more. Unleash.chat version 0.1.21 has been released with internet search. You can now send your LLMs out to the internet on unleash.chat.
On the Coracle, you're moving so quick, I can't stop you in time. The Coracle update, first of all, HodlBot is a fucking legend. What's really cool, like custom feed builder, right? Like, think about this concept, right? That the user has full control over what type of experience that they're having, what feed they're seeing is like granular control over that feed is beautiful. That is one of the key benefits of Noster, I think, is just user choice. I think that's one of the key benefits of Freedom Tech in general. I think as you start going down this trend of end users choosing how they want to use these tools and what their experience is, once you empower those users, you empower the users, you empower the individuals, and then at scale, we start to see massive freedom benefits. So I'd love to see it. Can't be understated.
Shout out to HodlBot. I had the pleasure of meeting him here in Austin a few months ago.
Yeah, that's where I met him too. I actually met him in the bathroom.
Did you guys shake hands?
Yeah, after we washed. Also, yes. I met Craig Raw in the bathroom too. Those are the two Bitcoiners I met in the bathroom.
I don't know how to take you meeting all these Bitcoiners in bathrooms. I don't know. I don't know what this says about you.
Anyone who's been to a Bitcoin event knows that men's bathrooms are fucking filled with people. And my face is public, so there you go.
Matt? No, I've had that. I'm like at the urinal trying to pee. Are you Marty? Yeah, dude, I'm taking a piss here.
Yeah. Hoddlebod was at the sink. Craig was at the urinal. And I was wearing a Citadel hat and he was wearing a Sparrow hat. I was like, nice hat.
He's like, I'm the whole team. Yeah. I'm the whole team. Yeah, let's walk through this. Let's take some time to walk through this. Meeting somebody at a Bitcoin event in the bathroom, okay? I'm glad to see you're following procedure. Wait to shake their hand till after they wash their hands.
Yeah.
Maybe wait till they're done taking the pee at the urinal. Actually, I don't know. So, what are your thoughts on urinal banter? Some people are for it. Some are against it. I think you've had the... I think if you have the dividers, urinal banter is fine. There's no divider there. It's like where your eyes go.
You can banter. The uncouth part is the peak. You're not supposed to, you know, like take a look at the other guy's junk.
Yeah.
But like you can talk, you just eyes forward chat.
Yeah, maybe eyes. It's usually like eyes up. Yeah, man, this is a good event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Craig is a tall dude, right? So like his hat was like way above his junk. It was in.
Yeah,
I mean,
if he wanted to peek, he probably could. He had the angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he would have had a good view.
Don't peek, freaks. It's not, it's uncouth. It's not polite. Wash your hands, then shake hands. Okay. That was urinal etiquette on RHR. Unleashed chat. We already announced that.
Did you see Gary in the chat? Urinal banter only if you look him in the eyes.
Thoughts on sword fights. Josh, I do not recommend sword fights. Another launch, product launch, Daylight tablet has launched pre-orders. I have gotten access to one early. Anjan and Tristan came in and recorded an episode of TFTC last month. I've been using it for a couple weeks. Perform it. It works well. The screen... really, really fast. You can see the reactions here. It's happening fast. I think it's 60 frames per second for this e-ink like screen, which is a pretty innovative pre-sale. I think it might be sold out now at this point, but I like it. The idea behind this.
Founders, take note. If you give Marty a free tablet, he will shill anything.
I'm not sure. It's a great, I mean, no blue screen.
Like the product infomercial. It's a really cool concept. I like the idea of e-ink in general, and I like the idea of less addictive devices. And I look forward to getting my hands on one. I will just say to freaks in general, be cautious around pre-order products.
This is true.
I think they told me they expect to start shipping the first batch at the end of June, early July. In general, I say no to pre-orders and wait till they start shipping on the regular and more reviews come out.
Yeah. I'm liking it. It is
a really cool concept. I mean, I was having this conversation at the park, at Bitcoin Park earlier today when we came in, because it's a really weird dichotomy, particularly since we're in the venture space now with 1031, but also with OpenSats. You know, so much of Silicon Valley based investing and tech investing has been based on like these completely unethical expectations and processes and standards. And like it goes all the way down to the core of like this concept of like daily active users, right? Like a daily active heroin user, we call them addicts. But in the tech world, everyone's just like, you got to get them addicted. Like they got to get, you know, every day they need to be on the, they need to be on your app for 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. Like Elon is laser focused in increasing the number of hours that individual users are on his app for. And there is a balance somewhere. There's a balance somewhere there where you can still make money and you can still ship product. And you can have a sustainable growing business, where you don't take advantage of users. And I would say at least from a bird's eye view of Daylight, because I haven't spoken to them personally or use the product or anything like that. It seems like that's kind of the direction they're taking. And it's a hard thing to do. But I definitely want to see more of that, that people taking the hard path. And I mean, that's why 1031 exists. That's why OpenSats exists in the first place.
Yeah. No, and to that point too, I didn't even throw it on the list, but I think we should talk about it, especially since you brought up the concept of daily active users. Like, they're easily gamed too. And big announcement of the week in the crypto VC space, Farcaster, social media platform built on Ethereum, raised $150 million. Rumors are that the valuation is over $1 billion. And they raised this on...
that much.
Yeah, I would imagine has to be at least a bill. But they're touting 45,000 daily active users. And somebody went and dove into Farcaster and was like, I think most of these are bots. And if you look at that video, I posted on Noster. It does seem like a lot of the users are bots, but even like talk about perverse incentives of venture capital. If it's applied in certain ways, like this $150 million raised, $1 billion valuation, and Farcaster has 0.02% of the quote unquote daily active users of Twitter does. Twitter's rumored to be valued at right now $50 billion. So it has 0.02% of the daily active users and already 2% of its market cap. And the investors, if they
just burnt $150 million, they should have donated to OpenSats.
Yeah, I mean, arguably that has to get to a $10 billion valuation at some point to make it worthwhile.
Noster's better than Farcaster, and it's been built out for less than $1 million in grants.
Exactly. I mean, that's...
I also like, they were like, they bragged, they were like, we have a lean team of 13 people. Like, that's not a lean fucking team. Like, they do not, they have not talked to Bitcoin startups or Noster startups. Like, that is fucking huge ass team.
Yeah.
Insane.
It does give me hope though, for Noster. And again, that's, I mean,
it's Balaji's brother, right? And it's Dan Romero, both like intimately connected to like Coinbase and A16Z. So this is just traditional VCs burning capital, like patting the back of their friends, and it's like everything that's wrong all mixed into a single deal.
How many daily active users does Noster have right
like
now?
Paradigm is the co-founder's Coinbase. Like, the whole thing is just like a fucking boys club, just stealing investor money.
Does anybody in the Zap.stream chat have a link to Noster daily active users?
Well, I mean, I think the main stat we use is Noster.band, and I think it's overly conservative. And I think that's around 20,000. But I don't even think that's what should be prioritized. Like, I don't think that is, that shouldn't be the goal. The goal shouldn't be daily active users. That's an addiction metric. I personally think, you know, corporate surveillance tech is a worse addiction crisis than opioids. Significantly worse. And I don't think that's what we should be
prioritizing for.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But the beauty of something like Noster is all that data is out in the open. It's not a walled garden. Walled garden is another euphemism. Like, we sent SBF to a walled garden? No, we sent him to a fucking prison. fucking insane. But anyone can analyze Noster data, which is cool. But obviously there are a lot of bots in there and people have multiple accounts, because you can create an account without permission. It's just a public key, private key pair.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stats on Noster.band now.
And also, like, bots should be able to use a communication protocol too. Like, one of the coolest parts about Twitter in the early days was how easy it was to make bots for it. And, I think that ship has sailed. Like, it's you don't want to have a bot on Twitter. It's you're just going to get rugged at some point in the future. But Noster's perfect for it.
Yeah, on that note too, I saw something. Since you're not on Twitter, you probably didn't see this, but I don't know if you're going to be happy. It's going to be a big told you so. You're going to tell me when am I going to get off, but...
told you so.
I'm a man of honor. I'm a man of integrity. And the freaks need to know what's happening. Logan, pull this up. I mean, we were on this tip earlier, but X is now requiring ID for monetization. Every creator and everyone aspires to be monetized on X Creator must oppose this.
This is so surprising.
Israeli analytics firm backed by Israeli intelligence.
How do you feel being complicit to all of this?
It's pretty dirty, not going to lie. I'm a man of integrity, man of honor. I feel pretty dirty.
Well, you can do something about it.
I've been trying to slowly but surely migrate to Noster.
Just press the delete button.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough, Logan. That's enough. Full KYC. What are your, what else do we have on the list? We do have some things to riff on that aren't on the list.
Well, we have some more things that added.
I don't know why you have this on, but MetaMask is working to add native Bitcoin support.
Okay, I thought it was interesting. First of all, Coinbase doesn't have it. The reason I thought it was interesting is because MetaMask up there with Trust Wallet is probably, you know, one of the largest self-custody wallets in the world. Trust Wallet already supports Bitcoin. I think it's an example of a titan of the shitcoin space not being able to ignore Bitcoin any longer. So it seemed like an interesting... Obviously, they haven't shipped it yet, but neither has Coinbase. So it was kind of interesting that CoinDesk reported on this, citing anonymous sources. But like CoinDesk ownership is like kind of... They're all in the same boys club with MetaMask ownership and Consensus and everything. So like it was probably deliberate, and it was probably because of the Trump stuff that like Trump can't accept fucking Bitcoin because he chose to use Coinbase's wallet. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. That it is this long, but still interesting.
MetaMask. Getting into Bitcoin.
Did you see this?
I did.
Dorsey's JP Morgan.
What was that, like a digital summit?
Yeah, it was a summit in Boston. And he basically just like straight up, Logan, you gonna pull it up? He straight up just like, do you not have it? Logan doesn't have it.
It's in there.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The Jack Dorsey
in the middle?
No, it's at the end.
It's at the end.
You added a second list.
Logan, we're not lawyers. We're not lawyers, okay? Jack basically like called out Bitmain, and he was like, Block is going to take, he's going to eat their lunch with ASICs.
So there's basically one company that makes miners for all cryptocurrency. It's called Bitmain. They're out of China, and we, for 12 years, we've had a team that built ASICs. There are specialized chips for a very special function, and we started interviewing mining companies and asked them what they needed and what they hated about Bitmain. And we're also one of the few companies that have access to 3-nanometer fabs, which means that we can build some significant scale and chips that move very, very fast, and we're able to build a mining chip that solves pretty much all the needs of what we heard are problems for Bitmain customers and gives them a lot of flexibility. So reliability is a big issue. Flexibility and customization is a big issue. Bitmain has like 70 or 80%, maybe even 90% of the market. And I think we're going to take a majority of that with our system. Jack, Block, Square, if you guys can bring this to market, it would be massive. Particularly the most important aspect of what Jack said here is flexibility and customization. That's the big problem with these ASICs right now, is their firmware is not conducive for flexibility or customization. We've seen historically that Bitmain specifically has hidden bugs in the firmware, whether that's AmpLead or ASIC boost, covert ASIC boost. And if Block is able to bring an ASIC to market, that makes it much easier for miners to interact with the firmware. That's going to be a massive boon. And I think that alone, which he alludes to in this part of the conversation, could help them get a bunch of market share. But as we know, you don't know how it works until it launches.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, they've mentioned open source many times. So hopefully it'll be the most open chip we've ever seen, which is rare, which would be fucking cool to see. I think the second piece is I just love the aggressiveness coming out of Jack. And I really like the sign off, which was like, it's probably going to take us 2 years and I'm going to come back on the stage and prove it to you, which I just love that vibe.
Yeah, I do as well.
Do you see Philip Riss on the YouTube chat?
I have not been looking at the YouTube chat. I can't believe you are.
It's automatically in our eCam. Like, I can't get rid of the YouTube chat.
He's now that, like, you're the only one who can see it, because I closed it on my screen.
Oh, can I close it? Oh, shit. Okay, bye, YouTube chat. But before I do that, I already saw the comment. Philip Rizzo, crazy story, but I walked by Jack in Boston on his way to that conference. Feels good, man.
Felt good, man.
Felt good, man. There you go.
No, I think another thing that he said...
Congratulations, I'm walking by Jack.
I think another thing that he said during that conference, which is really impactful, particularly for that audience, and he said this publicly before, but I think saying it to this particular audience could be powerful, which is, hey, at Block, we're looking to disrupt ourselves because we see the potential of Bitcoin and recognize that it is going to be a massive disruption to our business if we do not adapt and adopt Bitcoin. And I think the same rings true not only for Block, but for any financial services company, bank, wealth manager, whatever it may be. Bitcoin is going to massively disrupt their business. And if they don't adapt and begin adopting Bitcoin and implementing it into what they do, they're going to get left behind. Maybe not next year, maybe not 5 years from now, but I would venture to be confident to say that within a decade, two decades, if you haven't adopted, you're going to be dead.
I mean, is there like a greater suit conference than like the JP Morgan digital conference? Like he did it in their lion's den. And I mean, also we just had Scott on RHR, right? And open source chips made in America. You start to see really cool things mixing with the BitX project. That's kind of cool how all that compounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to Block, shout out to Jack. We're going to win, freaks. Build. Write code. Produce ASICs. Tell your friends.
Use
we built something at TFTC this week. It launched, and it works.
Congratulations, Marty, on revolutionizing Reflinks.
We haven't gotten to Reflinks status yet, but I don't know. We went to play around with it. We mentioned, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we were using MASH for monetization on the site. They have pulled out of the market due to the chilling effect that is being levied here in the United States. And so now that we don't have monetization tools by MASH on the site, we're getting back to our roots and we're going to build our own. And the first thing that we launched was a rewards program. So it's not really Reflink. It's a rewards program. We want to incentivize people. It is a Reflink, but you know, we can get more creative with it, I think, in the future. But again, that's what we've been trying to think of. I have, at least, like, how do you grow the audience?
User numbers?
No, not game daily active. We're trying to grow TFTC. We're doing it in a good way. Same here, Rabbit Hole Recap. All the growth that we've had to date, I would argue, is word of mouth.
To watch Rabbit Hole Recap, though.
Word of mouth. Yes, I will pay you to tell your friends to come. Come to TFTC to consume information.
I'm just giving you a hard time for the most part.
But essentially, I think it's a cool from a tech perspective. We're using Nostr Wallet Connect and Bitcoin Links, which was spun up by Austin from Pleb Lab and Pleb Devs, now working at Voltage. He spun this up at the hackathon at BTC Plus a few weeks ago. After we talked to him, said, "Hey, we'd like to build this product," but essentially, what we've done is use Nostr Wallet Connect and Bitcoin Links to make it so, and then we've created our own server that connects to our Ghost API that can help us create a reward system that incentivizes people that are subscribed to Marty's Bent to recommend that friends listen to or read, excuse me. And so we've set up this referral program where we say, hey, if you're getting value out of this content and you think you have a friend or family member that would get value out of this as well, give us our email address. They can unsubscribe, not give us, but like put their email address in this referral form. They can unsubscribe right away. However, if they read three newsletters, you're going to get a Sats reward and they're going to get a Sats reward. So I tested this out with Will Cole and Parker Lewis this week. So they were the two to get.
We really like tested out while right before we started ripping, right?
Well, yeah, Parker finally opened his third email, so he was able to
hang out loose this week. It was like, yeah. It was Marty walked away from the camera. It's like, wait, we're testing this out and then we'll start.
Yeah. So Logan, pull up the picture I just put in the chat. And so you can claim your Sats reward and you can put in Lightning address, Bolt 11 invoice or LN URL and get paid right away. And using Nostra Wallet Connect, that's how we're doing this. I have my Albi wallet connected to Nostra Wallet Connect, communicate with Bitcoin links. If you use
through Nostra.
So we're combining all this Lightning.
That's cool.
Nostra. It works. So
how are you going to deal with like people gaming the system?
That's one thing we're thinking of. So right now we've limited it 1-to-1 to prevent Sybil attacks and trying to think through the social.
I can only get 500 sats once?
Right now. We're testing it out before we open it to 1-to-many. And again, going back to having to make sure that you actually read the emails before you get the reward. Messing with that aspect of it, like how many emails do you read before you get a reward?
How can you tell that they're reading the email?
Using Ghost API.
Like trackers in the email.
Yeah, I guess. It knows that you opened. You gonna?
Not on air. No, off air. I've said too much.
You've said too much.
No, I mean, look, I think it's good it's cool that you mix all these technologies together.
We're experimenting, okay?
Experimenting. I would say though, I think like the future, like this is, you're kind of building for the old world, no? Like the future is not that. The future probably doesn't even involve email.
I would hope so. We have to work between the old world and the new world, Bridget.
Yeah.
Funnel everybody over. That's the other thing. I mean, we were talking about that with Milyum a couple of weeks ago, like when you just start posting long form content specifically on Nostra. And only
highlighter.com.
Yeah, it's a distribution problem. It's like, that's what I toil with. And going back to like X and stuff like that. It's,
well, I think like a lot of combination it's going to come down
meeting people where they are and dragging them to where you want them to be.
A lot of it's going to come down to content creators willing to jump off the cliff. And there's fear there, particularly if there's a heavy reliance on that revenue stream to pay for their families and their expenses and whatnot. But at some point, someone's got to jump off the fucking cliff. And more than one person, ideally, you have to jump off the cliff and you have to actually try and embrace the future. And I think that's going to take longer than a lot of people expect. It's going to be like Parker always says, gradually then suddenly.
Gradually then suddenly. Again, maybe, and it's up for debate, but like, again, meeting people where they are and dragging them to where they need to be or where you would like them to be. I think that's what we're trying to do here. It is cool though. I mean, getting back to who knows whether this product is scalable, is gameable, is as private as some people would like it to be, but we want to just play around with the stuff that we've been talking about for a while. And
the experimentation is cool, and you guys shipped it pretty quickly after Mass shut down.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Shout out to Austin and Darren.
I love Austin.
Yeah. So yeah, beware, freaks, it's out there.
The dude, not the city. The city's a bit overrated.
Yeah. I was not paying attention. God damn it. did you put the bank runs in here?
No, I forgot.
Go up to Logan, go up to that tweet. Yeah. So the New York Federal Reserve Board did a retrospective on last year's bank runs that included Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Signature going down. Silicon Valley Bank got bailed out, still around. First Republic Signature did not, were not fortunate enough to make it out. But apparently, as all this was going down, the New York Federal Reserve Board identified 22 banks that were being run on that had significant negative outflows. On the one hand, this implies that over 10 times more banks faced a run during that period than failed, which I think they're chalking up as a positive. On the other
That's a ridiculous positive.
On the other hand, and this is a positive spin, on the other hand, runs were less widespread than suggested by a decline in bank stock prices. So markets overreacted, which makes sense. People get scared. They do irrational things. But also in this piece, I didn't find it.
All the banks are solvent, so they're completely rational.
They basically admitted that if BTFP did not get instituted, they would have failed.
By the fucking pump.
Yeah.
Mandibles than Bitcoin standard.
Is that where we're at? What else? What do you think?
That's not a doomer view. Observing reality and acting accordingly is not doomer view. I'm incredibly optimistic. I just focus on things that are actionable and controllable. You have to understand where we are and where we're headed if you want to act effectively.
I agree. I don't think we need people. I agree. I'm optimistic as well.
You know, I think if you use Twitter for hours a day, like you have, you inherently have a much doomer-esque take on things because that algorithm is just designed for it.
It really is.
The thing's a fucking psyop machine. Delete Twitter. It's good for the soul.
Actually, I had Michael Goldstein on TFTC this week, and a good portion of our conversation was about that. And he has a...
How did it take you 7 years to have him on the show? It was the first time ever?
First time ever. He's...
Well, he's been on RHR Live, at least.
At BitBlock Boom, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a very public person, you know?
That's true. He's done it right.
Yeah.
Besides that, he's still on Twitter.
He's had the invite for a while.
He's on Nostr now. Yeah. It's a step.
So is the SNI. Oh, on that note. On that note, Satoshi Nakamoto Institute is, in my opinion, one of the most important institutions within Bitcoin, trying to preserve the canon of Bitcoin and highlight the economic theory and technologies that preceded and arguably led to the creation of Bitcoin. Michael came on to discuss the revitalization of Satoshi Nakamoto Institute. Shout out. And they are doing a campaign right now to raise funds to implement a redesign that they have. They're raising 21 million sats. They have, I believe, 16 million raised. So they need five million more sats. If you freaks believe that the Nakamoto Institute is important and is something that has helped you along your Bitcoin journey at some point over the last 11 years, consider donating.
Really?
What?
I didn't realize they were doing a crowdfund too. I don't know if it's public yet, but I believe we're giving them an OpenSats grant.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I didn't know it was public either.
Well, alpha.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught that pause and like redirect.
I caught the pause. OpenSats is proud to support. I agree. I think it's one of the best educational initiatives. You know, the original mission of OpenSats included education.
Everything's open source, so...
Yeah, part of us trying to scale, it has to be, everything has to be open source no matter what. Part of us trying to scale, we reduced our scope for a little bit and we stopped accepting education applications, but now we're starting again. But yeah, it has to be open source, globally distributed, you know, essentially education materials, ideally focused on onboarding developers into the ecosystem. Because one of the issues we're seeing is we're seeing intense burnout on the developer side. especially with this regulatory environment where they have increased liability. So developers are burnt out. They're getting even more burnt out, like our ride or dies, the ones that, you know, have been through thick and thin for 6 years, 7 years, particularly on the core side, is really bad. And then like our birth rate of new developers is lower than it's ever been. So like we need to, first of all, try and reduce that burnout. And second of all, bring in a whole new generation of developers, of open source contributors. So this is a concern that we have at OpenSats and we're intimately aware of. And I think SNI has historically helped in that case and will continue to. And Bitstein's just a fucking legend.
He really is. He really is. We're lucky to have him. Nakamotoinstitute.org. It's still somebody's like, how do I learn about Bitcoin? That's the first place I send them. Go read this website and everything on it. What else we got here? Anything else to riff on? Looking at the list.
I did say I closed the YouTube chat, but I didn't. Joseph Vogel of on the YouTube chat asks, is there a good nonprofit to donate to that can contribute to offsetting this dev drag? Obviously, opensats.org. But I think right now specifically is p2prights.org. I think this legal defense fund, like every developer I talk, so many developers I talked to over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like they think what's going to happen is if they have a project that ends up being incredibly successful, they're going to get thrown in a courtroom and their lives are going to be put at risk and that they could lose the rest of their lives. And everyone is just going to forget about them and just freak out about a pizza truck or Bitcoin going over 70K and just like not even give a shit about them. And having a legal fund have their back is really big. And I think just it being launched was a massive sign to a lot of these contributors. But that's just the first step. Like a single one of these cases, you know, a federal case supposedly can go into like the $5 million range, like $3 to $5 million to defend these types of cases. And yeah, they'll give you a free public defender, but you're fucked. If you use the free public defender, you're completely screwed. So yeah.
Yeah. Beware, freaks.
I also think Nifty is doing great work at Base 58. And that's not just financial support, right? It's like supporting these initiatives, supporting the people behind them. Sharing their work, you know, sharing their content with friends and family. Marty will pay you 500 sats if you share their content.
Yeah. Summer of Bitcoin. Shout out to Summer of Bitcoin. Me Premier of Bitcoin.
Yeah, Me Premier Bitcoin is great. Yeah. But then one of the cool parts about Me Premier Bitcoin is that it's not focused on devs. But that's a whole different conversation. Like, I do like that they're like, we're just going for actionable Bitcoin education. Like, this is how you receive Bitcoin. This is how you send Bitcoin. This is what a UTXO is. This is, you know, how you use your own node. Why do you want to use your own node? That kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, and they've mixed in economic theory into their lessons too, which is cool to see. This is how money goes bad. You print more of it. It debases everybody's savings. This is why you need a hard cap supply monetary system like Bitcoin. On this note too, what are your thoughts on everything going on the Hill? Have you read into that FIT 21 bill at all? I mean, what I saw from like Thomas Emmer, it seemed promising. It's like this will, apparently the bill is overarching in the sense that it's trying to make it so banks and financial institutions can custody Bitcoin.
Oh, that one?
On behalf of users, yeah. But then Tom Emmer came out and was like, this is also going to make it so individuals can hold Bitcoin and transact P2P without having to worry.
I think they're just whatever. I mean, it'll pump our bags. Like the banks, the banks want a piece. The banks want a piece. They don't like that BlackRock is, that taking BlackRock and Fidelity and ARK and Barry Silbert and Bitwise are able to take fees off of buying Bitcoin for people, but banks can't, because not only do banks are required under the current ruling to keep full reserve Bitcoin, which they're not used to doing. Like, they usually are just Ponzi schemes. Like, they don't usually keep full reserve of anything. They have to keep double full reserve under the current counting regime. They have to keep the full amount of Bitcoin and then the full equivalent of dollars that Bitcoin is worth at any given time. Double reserves when they're used to keeping no money of yours. They just have nothing. So those poor banks, I really hope that we can change this accounting change. I think this is, you know, it shows the incentives, right? It shows the incentives that, like, we mentioned Bitstein earlier. Bitstein had a great tweet back in the day, which is like, Bitcoin's a crazy game. You have no choice but to play. You have to play.
The only winning move is to play.
Yeah. And the incentives work in that regard. I will say, Lynn had a great post on Noster that it is, you know, it's pretty disheartening when you see like the industry come together to get banks involved. But then anything on like the privacy or freedom front, they're like, ah, fuck them. Which sucks, but get used to it. That's going to happen more and more. And that's one of the reasons why I look so tired all the time.
Always tired. It's also tiresome.
I don't support it.
When do you think you're going to have like a month long stretch of good sleep? At what point?
I mean, we're going to have to, like, when is RHR ending?
Hopefully never. Even when the post, it's going to turn into goats and other stuff. Goats and other stuff.
Goats.
Post hyper Bitcoinization.
Yeah. Well, I'll get a good night's sleep when you quit Twitter, so you don't bring it onto the RHR with you every week.
I didn't bring any Twitter on this week. Yeah, it was all primal post. It was all primal post.
Did Tom Emmer like DM you?
No, he didn't DM. Oh, no, he didn't DM me. I saw it on YouTube.
You were like, I like how when you mentioned, you're like, yeah, Tom had mentioned. You know, just like, oh, he just called you up, your buddy Tom.
Yeah, Tom, so hit me up. What do you think about this, Marty? One more thing I wanted to add. Keep building. It was fun. I really do want to give a earnest shout out to Austin. It was fun brainstorming that product and watching him build it, spun it up. And it does, it really, the Noster Wallet Connect stuff is something I wasn't
Noster Wallet
grasp. Yeah. It's cool. You can see it all forming. It's all happening. It's possible. Spin something up in 2 or 3 weeks. It's part-time work.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing else to talk about. Push forward. Don't stop.
Platitude. Trope.
What the fuck?
No, I'm not saying that to you. I'm just like, it's sort of, you intimated that. So I was like, we should shill our live event in Nashville.
We haven't been. What is it? At pubkey.bar/RHR. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be the best thing that happens that whole week. People have been telling me there's nothing they're more excited about than that week.
It's going to be the most incredible event.
That day of that week.
Pubkey.bar.
The best people. There's no better people than we're going to have. We're going to have the best people. This is going to be the best time.
We got a dunk tank, and Donald Trump agreed to come and like sit on the dunk tank. So if you want to dunk,
so much better than me. I just can't handle it.
It's going to be the best event in Nashville that week. The most incredible event. We have the best guest, the best music, the best food, the best alcohol, and the best air conditioning in Nashville.
It's going to be air conditioned. 600 people. It's going to be like talk show style. We're going to have a little band like Jimmy Kimmel. You know, they're going to play shit in between. Like hit the singles.
You know what we're going to do?
4 hours.
We're going to tie back to the first ever or second ever live RHR Bitcoin 2019. I don't know. Like, we didn't have our shit together. You sort of like shot from the hip. and just told everybody to smash buy. We're going to try to break the record for most individuals smash buying in one place.
Oh, I am
during
not
the Nashville event.
Last time I did that, it was the
top freaks.
Years.
Can we get a 600 person smash buy in one location?
For
I think
3 years, people gave me shit about that. They're like, Matt, you're such a fucking asshole. You told everyone to buy at $13,000, and then we just dumped. Pretty crazy looking back at it. $13,000. You should just mortgage the house on that one.
Yeah, up 5x from there.
It'll be
largest,
fun.
Largest collective smash buy in Bitcoin's history. We're going to get into Guinness Book of World Records.
What is it? It's pubkey.bar/RHR.
Slash
I didn't even know there was a .bar suffix.
They're expanding it. All right. Come join us for the largest smash buy. We're going to get into Guinness Book of World Records.
It's going to be a fun time. It might be the last RHR ever, too. How about that? It's the last RHR ever.
Be you got to get there. You got to get there. It could be.
It may be. People are saying.
Yeah.
I've people heard rumors. Yeah. Sources. Okay, Marty. This has been great.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, freaks.
Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love.
Dickie.